November 3rd, 2012, day three of the Virginia Film Festival. This is Sean McCord in the Main Street Arena, where you can come by to get your tickets, your programs, your hats, your balloons, I see, t-shirts, really everything Virginia Film Festival related. We've been talking to filmmakers, industry leaders, actors, directors, and sitting across from me is, well, director, but so much more. Sprague. Thank you. You know, I asked you ahead of time to help me with that, and I stumbled over it the first time out the gate.
Yeah.
Sprague Theobald, director of The Other Side of the Ice, which screens Sunday, tomorrow at 7:15 p.m. in Now Auditorium at UVA South Lawn. Sprague, thank you for coming by.
My pleasure.
It looks like I cut you literally as you were walking in the door.
I was. I'm running a little late because I came down from New York yesterday, and Sandy, the hurricane, had caused a few problems for us trying to get out of the city. But
where do you live in the city?
I'm over in Brooklyn, actually. We didn't get hit too hard, but Lower Manhattan is just a war zone.
Yeah,
and trying to find gas to get out, and it just, I don't think anybody would ever say a hurricane came at the right time, but it could not have come at a worse time.
Well, certainly for us.
Yes.
But, historical record, I think people will look back on this as I'm hoping, a real turning point in the way we deal with these things. But that's another story. Although it is not incidental to your film, The Other Side of the Ice.
Which
is also a story about people kind of battling the elements.
It is. They are both Mother Nature driven, and as the story in the film, as you'll see, or in the book by the same name, is I had this idea to go up and try and find and transit the Northwest Passage on my boat in 2009, and for those people who aren't familiar with it, the passage is a theoretical route through the Arctic that connects the Atlantic with the Pacific, and since, wow, I would say back to Columbus's time, men have been trying to find it, and in probably the most notorious expedition was John Franklin in the mid-1850s.
How'd that one work out?
It didn't work out. It didn't work out well at all for anybody. In fact, he took his two ships, 110 feet, 129 men. They went to try and find the passage, and to this day, they have never been found or seen or heard from again. Nobody knows what happened to them.
So theoretically, they could still be out there.
They could still be out there, very old and very bored. It's the ice got them, and nobody knows. But
this wasn't just, so you didn't take two ships and 129 men.
No.
You took three people and a crew?
I took four people on my 57-foot trawler. And
most of whom were related to you.
That's the story within the story. It turned out, as sometimes happens in families, unfortunately, there are divorces. And I was divorced about 15 years prior to the trip. And there were three children who I'd sort of been in touch with. I had two stepchildren, my own son. And in the best of circumstances, we try to stay in each other's lives. But when the project started to develop, one by one, they came forward and said, you know, we'd love to be a piece of this project. So miraculously, through absolutely no planning of my own, one by one, the kids could join. My son joined us in Halifax.
And just to help us for context, how old are they?
They are now, my son was 22 during the trip. My stepdaughter was 30, and my stepson was 33. So my son joined us in Halifax. My stepdaughter was already aboard. And my stepson, he and I hadn't spoken in 12 years. And he contacted me out of the blue and said, you know, I know we have a lot to talk about, but can I help? And he joined us in Greenland. So slowly, and very absolutely, through no design of my own, this family now is on board doing probably one of the most dangerous trips that can be done still.
Well, I do have to ask that. So here's a family reunion, in some case with your sons you hadn't spoken to in over a decade, and somebody had the great idea. I know. What better way for all of us to get together than to be on this isolated boat in the middle of the Arctic a journey that has killed men before?
Well,
I assume they were all experienced sailors.
My stepdaughter and I had done a lot of boating together. My son a little bit. My stepson, none. What you just mentioned was, yes, something that came to me when we're stuck in the ice. getting ready to be pushed onto the shore to certain destruction. I retired to my cabin one night and I said, oh, this is really good. I've reunited the family only to lead them to their death. What a great story this is.
And the final crowning achievement is I'm going to film it.
And I'm going to film it, yeah. And it's going to be called the Northwest Passage Sprague Project film. But there is a happy ending. As the book and the movie of the same name, Other Side of the Ice, shows, it is an amazing, amazing story of reconnection, redemption, and a family that was split coming back together.
Now, as we're talking, we're sitting in the back of the Main Street Arena, and we're watching a Zamboni back up onto our own little ice floe here.
What we hear.
In case our listeners were... wondering what all that sound was. I'm talking to book author and Emmy Award-winning documentary film producer, Sprague Theobald.
Perfect, thank
there
you.
There we go. Who's at the Virginia Film Festival talking about his film, The Other Side of the Ice, which screens Sunday at 7:15 p.m. in Now Auditorium. So, without spoiling the ending, did you all survive?
We did. We did. Well, you're looking at me.
Yeah.
You have to see the film to see if the kids survived. But yeah, we did, but there's a surprise ending to it, which I highly encourage people to come and see.
All right, and you're a long time documentary. You've done production work. You've worked in TV. You've worked in films.
I was in broadcast news for quite a while with an NBC affiliate, and that's where I did a lot of producing and in front of the camera work. And the first big documentary I did, an hour long, was on the America's Cup when the Australians won way back in early 80s, and that went on to win an Emmy Award. So that was kind of my indication that I think I found what I do best and have been producing just about anything, any story I can get my hands on. A lot have been out of my own pocket just for the art of wanting to produce stories, and some have been corporate, and this is the first big mainstream one I've done.
And really personal, obviously.
Very, very, very personal. So much so, Sean, that this is the first project I had to bring editors in on, and I had to step out of the edit booth. Because the story I was telling, or at least trying to tell, was very, very subjective, which does not help the film at all. And these guys were, Hunter Steinman and Misha Spivak, just brilliant editors who created something far more powerful than I ever could have.
Because the art of making a documentary film is not just what goes on in front of the camera, but in the act of editing.
Exactly, exactly.
So the film runs 85 minutes. How many hours do you think you shot?
We came back with 300 hours of beautiful HD footage, and carving that down was a Herculean task. So I guess that it stands to say there are 299 more documentaries to be found in it.
So in addition to the family drama that takes place within the film, will viewers they'll be able to see things that they normally wouldn't see.
Exactly.
Of the Arctic.
This is footage that's never been seen before. Yeah. Areas such as where the Franklin Expedition disappeared, polar bear footage, walrus footage, ice footage. We did a lot of filming underwater, some magnificent ice sculptures underwater. And this is guaranteed footage no one's ever seen before.
So you brought it to the Virginia Film Festival. Have you been showing this around? Have you been on the festival circuit?
Between you and me, Sean, so don't let this get out of this building, the film was finished 3 days ago.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is its premiere. This is its debut. I've seen it on the monitor, but I've never seen it on big screen. So if you come tomorrow night at 7:15, I'll be the one with the knees rattling.
Oh, man. So this is going to be something new for you, too.
It will be.
Have you been to the Virginia Film Festival before?
I grew up in Virginia.
Okay.
Yeah, in Virginia. I grew up in McLean. When McLean was a one-horse town. Mm-hmm. It was a long drive.
It's got more horses now.
It's got a few more horses and gas stations, yeah.
Yes.
And years ago I came by, actually it was about 15 years ago I came by. Mm-hmm. I was looking, getting an idea of UVA. My son was born. I was thinking about colleges. So okay. I stopped in for a little bit. I can't remember a thing I saw, but the thing I loved about...
Trust me, whatever you saw is either not there anymore.
That's right.
There's another building in
front
of it.
We won't be seeing it again. Yes. Yeah. This is at Charlottesville is just. I'm going to pull out the WANADs and look for places, houses to rent. I just love it here.
It's just one of those kinds of towns. A lot of people come here, and look around and say, "Oh,
Yeah.
Well, I think I just might stay.
Who needs Brooklyn?
And it's drier right now.
It is, yes, yes.
Well, terrific. The film, one more time, is The Other Side of the Ice. Screened Sunday at 7:15 p.m. in Now Auditorium on the UVA South Lawn, which I guarantee you wasn't here 15 years ago because this whole building is just a couple of years old. If you haven't been over there yet, it's quite impressive. Speaking to Sprague Theobald, thanks for coming by.
Thank you,
and,
Sean.
Well, our world premiere. I hope you have a successful screening.
Thank you.
And I hope you enjoy the rest of the film festival.
Terrific. Thank you very much.